Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grace Bible Church this morning. So good to see each and every one of you here today. So glad that you're taking an opportunity to fellowship this before the service starts. Hopefully you'll take that same time as the service ends and continue to chat with one another, encourage one another in the faith. But we're glad you've come for the Adult Bible Study Hour today. We are continuing in our series, Every Thought Captive, a book by Kyle Eidelman, which we're taking excerpts from as we go through it. Before we begin, though, we will ask the Lord's blessing upon concepts surrounding his word today, and that he would apply these things to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for this morning. And Lord, how thankful we are for what you've done in our lives. Just cannot fathom the inexhaustible grace, that inexhaustible mercy. And Lord, what your salvation means and relationship that you're cultivating with us even today. Father, we pray that you would help our mindset to be on that relationship, and you would help our thoughts to be captive toward that relationship, but not in a drudgery slaved type of way, but rather in a willing, loving type of way. And Lord, we would pray that this day, as we look into concepts surrounding your word, you would apply them to our hearts, you would put the scripture in our minds, and that you would help us conform our lives to it. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking today about capturing every thought, and we're going to start at a point we're all familiar with, and that is at some point, we find ourselves at war with our own minds, correct? And while the battle is not new, it's real. Very real. And that's why the Apostle Paul encourages us with 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 6, where he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And there's a reason that I want to always start with this verse. And why might you imagine that we always want to start here? Why will this verse be so ingrained in your mind that you'll feel like you memorized it without even trying? It's not only the foundation of the book, but it's the foundation of your thought life. So yes, you're exactly right, Brother Stephen. Thank you for that. It is the foundation of the book. It's why we're here. But it's also the foundation of the battle of the mind. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Why don't we war after the flesh? Flesh cannot beat flesh. Flesh does not. That's exactly the right reason. Flesh doesn't cure flesh. It never will, never has, never will. And so a lot of people walk around in life thinking that they have mental willpower problems, when the fact of the matter is they're trying to accomplish a spiritual thing in the flesh and wondering why they keep failing. And so this is why Paul says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In fact, when he talks about being servants, and he talks about, hey, you're going to be the servant to the person you obey, so you're going to yield to somebody and obey somebody, and that's either going to be the servant of righteousness or the servant of sin. It's one of the two things you're going to do. So whomever you yield yourselves to obey, that's who you're going to obey. And he puts a very specific word in there that's really important to us, and the word is yield, right? Because we want to concentrate on the obedience part. I didn't obey, I didn't obey, I didn't obey. Well, you know what? If you yield to the Spirit, what will you do? Will you obey? Why? How do I know? Because if you walk in the Spirit, what will you not fulfill? Okay, so either the scripture is true or it's lying. So the idea is we harpen down on this obey piece and we forget that the obedience starts in one spot and it is yield. Yield, right? The flesh can't beat the flesh, and that's why we don't war after the flesh, though we walk in the flesh. So if our warfare is not carnal through the flesh, then what is it? It is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we'll talk a lot more about the actual stronghold itself as we get into chapter 2. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're 3 weeks in and we're still in chapter 1. Very small chapter, so you're like, really? Yeah, really. But casting mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then there are three actions here. What are the three actions that are our responsibility? Okay, there's the casting down part, right? And so what are we casting down? imaginations or any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because I think when we talk imagination, we start to think really creatively. Like, I imagined a dinosaur in a tree on top of a mountain in the middle of a lake, and there was sunshine up, and then there were rains and cloud, and lightning came down. You're thinking creatively, like a four-year-old in kindergarten. We think imaginations, but imaginations are not just that little creative piece. Imaginations stem from your thoughts. That's why it's "and every high thing that exalts." So whatever you're putting above God's truth, we need to cast it down. In other words, we need to put it back where it belongs, which is under God's truth. But guess what? Just because you put something under God's truth does not mean you bring it captive to God's truth. That's why they're two separate actions. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and doing what? Bringing your thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And it's very important what you're bringing your thought captive to. I can decide to have better thoughts all day long, but if my better thoughts don't revolve around Scripture, then wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? What have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God? Positive power of positive thinking? No, not necessarily. Power of positive thinking if it's the Scripture. But if it's not, it isn't just simply the power of positive thinking. So it's bringing thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Most people will get the first one. I can't be thinking this thought. I can't be thinking this thought. This is not true according to God's word. It's not true according to God's word. Some people will get the second one, where they will bring their thought captive to a portion of Scripture and change their thought process. Many people get the first. Some people get the second one, but very few people get the third. What is the third action? Thank you, Mrs. Smith. That's what almost nobody does. When you think about revenge, what do you think about? Now let me ask you a question. You're right, getting even. Is it really even when you take vengeance? Not in a million years. This happened to you. This is going to happen to them, right? This is way above what happened to you because they're going to know they should never do that again. And so you're going to make sure they know, never do that. So you're going to overpower. It's never even. It's a saying we say, I'm going to get even. But it's really, I'm going to get more. I'm going to get higher. I'm going to get better than you did. I'm going to get you. Okay, who does that to their evil thoughts? Who does that? Who does that to imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? Who does that? As I'm saying, a lot of people will get the first one. Some people will get the second one. How do you know when you've got the second one? Because you stop worrying. But almost nobody goes the third step. And then they wonder why there's no victory. I did with the button. You did, but not fully. You started taking some right steps, so let's encourage us to go on more. Let's do more. You've gotten this far, keep going, kind of thing. So that's why we always start here. In our modern world of consistent distraction and information overload, this ancient wisdom has never been more challenging to apply, he says, and that's the truth of it. And that's why we're here today, correct? Because we are here to dive deep into Scripture so we can discover the key to that lasting transformation, a key that's not found in behavior, modification, or willpower alone. Why is that statement true? We just covered that. Because though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's why it's not behavior modification or willpower alone. Alone. There is some restraint necessary. There is some choosing necessary. Yes. So it's not willpower alone. But in learning to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, we need to do a little more than that. Okay. So then, I also want to start with this question every time because I want this to be in front of your face so much that you sleep this. So are you kidding me? Yes. No. I want this to be in front of your face. If you could transform your thinking, how would your life change, right? If the mental narratives that hold you back were replaced with biblical thoughts of hope and confidence and purpose, how would your life change? And that's why it's vital that we learn to take thoughts captive. Okay, so we already understand all this. So when it comes to our thoughts, here's what we've learned so far, right? Our thoughts establish our emotions. Our thoughts direct our decisions. Our thoughts regulate our relationships. That's where we ended last time. We'll talk a little bit about that ending. And then our thoughts guide our goals. Now, in regard to our thoughts regulating our relationships, we talked last week about how our relationships, in our relationships, were left to fill in certain gaps, information gaps, where we don't have all the information we need to make certain decisions or to come to right conclusions. We talked about context gaps, where we don't understand the context in which a certain comment was made or behind why a certain behavior was displayed. There are also connection gaps, where our lives have gotten so busy that we haven't spent time together to know more or to know better when it comes to why we see what we see or why we're experiencing from someone else what we're experiencing. Question, did you have a chance this week to exercise these things? I did get a text. Hey, an Amazon package arrived on my door today. How should I think about this? It was a funny text. He knew exactly how to think. But I did get the text. It was funny. Our thoughts are constantly filling in gaps, trying to decide if we're going to presume the worst or the best, if we're going to be cynical or generous, or if we're going to think positively or negatively. Why? Because of the point is this. The way we fill in the gaps will significantly affect our relationships. So how many people had a chance to practice this week? Filling in the gaps the right way. I'm the only one. Okay, that's not a problem. You'll have a chance this week, I'm sure. Now we're going to get into the final one of these four. Our thoughts guide our goals. And the point he starts with is simply this. The way we think about our possibilities can determine the goals we set and the purposes we pursue in life. When our thoughts align with our goals, we're much more likely to take the appropriate action, right? And so think about one of the two of the goals you have for your life right now. What's one or two goals you have right now for yourself? Put them right in your head. What are they? There got to be a top two, right? At least a top one. Like you're striving for something. Okay, think about that for a minute. Why does he want you to think about that for a minute? Why should we think about that for a minute? Oops. Because when you think about how much better your life will be by accomplishing that goal or those goals, it triggers a dopamine response. That's one of those feel-good chemicals, right? The positive neurotransmitter that comes by way of both experiencing and thinking about rewards. Do you ever wonder why Jesus or why the writers in the New Testament or why anybody in Scripture puts such an emphasis in the New Testament on rewards? Why? How do you think that is? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just makes you feel like you have a sense of accomplishment
if
you're doing something correct or you're performing something that should be right to make you feel better.
Okay, perfect. So a sense of accomplishment because you are in a constant flux of forward action, things, Lord willing, the right things, are getting done. You're meeting what? A goal. What's the goal? In the Christian life, what is your goal? There we go. And we'll put it in Ephesians language. You're right, Steve. It is to please God. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ. That's the Ephesians language of your entire Christian life goal. That we should be to the praise of his glory. That's it. And so you've got this concept in mind. You're getting rewards along the way. And those things keep you hooked to a proper path. That's what's happening there. That's why he's putting it in words, but this is what's really happening. So by thinking about your goals, you're motivated to pursue them. Once more, the more we think about our goals, the more we become aware of our current state vis-a-vis our desired outcome. So in other words, have you met your goal yet? Well, if you have, it's not a goal. It's accomplishment. So if you've got a goal still out there, you haven't met it. And so if you haven't met your goal yet, thinking about your goal always reminds you of your current state. And why would you care about being reminded of your current state? In one sense, yes. It lets you know where you are. So in other words, it lets you know how far you've come as well. So there's two ways to look at that. How far you've come, how far you got yet to go. Right? So it does put that in front of you. And he likens it this way. Let me just make sure I bring this up. So he likes this way. This is a prime advertising strategy for diet and exercise programs. And what's the strategy? It's to show before and after photos. They want you to think about your current state and focus on your desired outcome. And so you pull up the before and after photos, and this person before is like a complete tub of lard. Oh my goodness, like you would do it. Oh, wow. Hey, you know, I don't even know why they put that thing out there. Millions of people are seeing this. Don't you know that? That's horrible. You know, and there's all this like, oh, ugh. And then they show you the after. Wow, what a transformation. Why, but I could do that. I mean, if they could do that, I bet I can do that. I want to look like that too. Diet and exercise. They got this thing down. Let's put this in front of your face to show you where you are, because if you don't like where you are, I'm going to make you not like where you are more. Because guess what? You don't do anything about your current state until you're good and unhappy with it. That's when you start to act. You can say all day long, oh, I should be doing this, and oh, I should be doing that, and oh, I wish I was doing this more, but you're not yet to the point of being completely dissatisfied with where you are, or you would be acting. That's just the fact of the matter. And so having your goal in front of you reminds you sometimes of your inactivity. Hey, you're doing nothing toward this goal. Is it really a goal, or is it just a dream? Because a goal without a plan is just a dream. A dream with a plan becomes a goal. And so he's trying to say, hey, listen, certain companies have a real handle on this, and a lot of times Christianity just does not. Because the more you think about the desired outcome, the more motivated you'll be to live in a way that aligns with your goal. That's really the point. So that's what he's trying to say when we're coming through talking about goals. The thoughts we think are always taking us somewhere. They can get us closer to our goals, or they can move us in opposite directions of our goals. How do they do that? Well, when you think about your goals, are you thinking about opportunities, or are you thinking about all the obstacles? What do you typically think about? When you put those two goals in your mind, what is the first thing that pops in your head? How you're going to accomplish them and all the opportunities you have, or how many obstacles are in your way? When you think about your goals, do you see these things as possibilities, or do you see these things as just huge problems? Oh, I wonder how I'll overcome. And why would we make a difference, but just a distinction between those two things when it comes to goals? Yes, if all you do is look at the obstacles and all the goal ever is a problem. I mean, have you ever talked to people like that? It's like as soon as they present a problem, you present a solution, and there's never a right solution. There's always only more problem. Well, here's why that won't work, and 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 here's why that won't work. That's all they do all day long is think about the problems and the obstacles. That's all they do. And so how much of the goal do you think they get accomplished? Yep. Zero. And when they start thinking about things, these could be possibilities. Possibilities may present a challenge, but what does a challenge present to you? Thank you. That's exactly the right wording. Challenge equals chance for growth. Most people think challenge equals chance for defeat. That's just the opposite in the spiritual world. Challenge means chance for growth. So how do I look at a challenge? Oh, it's a big obstacle. I don't know if I can make it. Or am I like, ooh, God's put something really big in front of me. That must mean he has some awesome plans, because I know I can't do this myself. So I wonder how he's going to show himself strong here. And I'm going to go after this because he's put it in my heart, and I just am waiting to where I end, which is going to be in 2.5 seconds, and he begins. I'm waiting for this challenge of overcoming. I'd love to see the growth he's going to bring through that. And if you start looking at everything in life like that, what happens to all the standard hang-ups that everybody goes through? So yeah, if you're looking at the problem or the obstacle, you're in defeat. But if you're looking from the possibility and the desired outcome angle and thinking challenge, and God may have some awesome growth in line for you. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying God's got a plan. And it could be a phenomenal thing. There is such a thing called growing pains, right? We experience them in our physical bodies when we hit that certain stage of life. And there are spiritual growing pains as well, and they usually come by way of challenge. But they're good pains because they're growing pains. It says, Paul understood the power of this dynamic when he wrote Philippians 3. And he was intentionally not thinking about what was in his past, but instead about what lie ahead in his future, right? And so if you look at Philippians 3, and I'm going to put it on the screen for you, he says, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. So did he reach his goal yet or not? No, still in the process. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What are the actions of this verse? There are too many people who don't even do the first one. They are so stuck on behind, so stuck on what's in the past, so stuck on everything that's happened in my life before till now, and so they live kind of in fear of going forward from that. They're not forgetting what's in behind at all. In fact, they're reliving it almost on a daily basis. Forgetting those things that are behind, what's the next action? Reaching forward. So let me ask you a question. What are you reaching forward to? Yes, so I'm going to put it in Philippians 3 language, right? What is the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? That's the goal, right? That's his goal. So that, if that's his goal, that's what he's reaching forward to. So he's forgetting the past, and he's reaching forward. And in his reach, what else is he actually doing? Pressing. So that involves activity. It's not just a reach mentally, it's a reach actionally. So we go back to plan, accomplishment. But if it's the calling of God in Christ Jesus, is this something I'm just submitting to God and saying, please bless my plans, here I go? Because that's what a lot of people think this is. Oh, I got to build a plan. Okay, so how successful are you going to be at building a plan? Are you going to be Abram and Sarah successful? Are you going to be Paul successful? Because Abraham and Sarah were the, here's our plan, we're going to, here's our action, just bless it. And Paul was like, this is what God's called me to. I'm simply following God's will. And that's what I'm pressing toward. And then one verse that I didn't read that's up here on the screen. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be what? Be thus minded. Be thus minded. And if anything, ye be otherwise minded. Hey, guess what? God will reveal even this to you. This is okay. It's okay if you're other minded. So in other words, God picks you up from where you are. It's not like he comes by and says, you are not in the right place. You're not thinking the right things. You're not doing the right stuff. You should have known better. You should have been farther. You should. He's not doing any of that. He's saying, okay, here's where you are. Here's where we're going to go. I'll walk with you. Come on. That's what he does. It's we who sit there and go, you should be. That's us. And a lot of times our adversary too. But not God. God's like, okay, here's where you are. I get it. That's not a problem. I know what you're made of. But here's where we're going. Get up. I'll walk with you. Let's go. Be thus minded. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Be thus minded. So then, as we process the connection between our thoughts and goals, perhaps it'd be helpful to consider the following. And we're ending right on time, so perfect. What are my most important goals right now? What are they? How often do you think about them? Why does it matter again how often you think about them? Because out of sight is you don't think about them, you don't do them. They're nowhere in your head. A When I do think about them, do I think more on the obstacles or desired outcome? What's my perspective? Oh, it's going to be so difficult. Oh, I can't. Oh, look. Or, wow, is this what God's calling me to? Because if it is, I'm going to really need his help. But that's kind of awesome, too, because now I get to see him work through my insufficiency. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. Doesn't Paul make that exact argument? 3 times I begged him to take this from me. And he says, my grace is sufficient in your weakness, for when you're weak, I am made strong. So do we think about the obstacles more or the desired outcome? And then finally, the last one that's most important. Do I pray about my goals to make sure my thoughts are aligned with what God wants for my life? Here's the kicker. We're not talking about nebulous goals in the middle of nowhere. We're talking about what God actually wants you to do, you and I to do. So this is getting alone with God. This is determining that. This is him showing this to you. And this is you going, oh, okay. Okay. I'm surrendered. Lead me. Show me. Help me. Do I pray about my goals to make sure my thoughts are aligned with what God wants for my life? And so with that, we'll stop. And we'll pick this up next time and get right into chapter 2, which is up and coming really quickly. But when you think about goals, it's a challenge, but it's meant to be overcome through God's strength. Yes, sir.
If you're trying to meet your goal to be more like Jesus, you are aligned.
There we go. Because that's the goal, that we should be to the praise of his glory, that we should be more conformed to the image of Christ. So if that's your goal, yes, you are aligned. No, it's not a big crazy thing, right? And that's the funny thing. How many of you have ever thought that God's will is so hard to determine that you wonder if you'll ever get it? Hey, I'm going to raise my hand because when I was younger, I was sure that was the case. And I'm not pretending like it's not the case now because God's put me in a place where I have to try to still determine that. And yet it's most difficult. But what do you think he wants me to know? Do you think he wants me to know his will more than I want to know it? Or do you think he wants me to know that he's hiding it from me to see if I might be able to find it? So if he's telling you nothing, then what do you think his will is? Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Stay on course. Know that I am God. When your direction needs to change, I'll let you know. But until then, be as faithful as possible with what I have on your plate right now. Faithful as possible. And any other thought that gets in the mix, casting down, obedience, and don't forget that third part that nobody ever gets to, revenging that disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's not just getting even with what took you down. It is going so far above it, it has no more place. Okay, with that, we'll pray, and we'll be dismissed, and then we'll have a business meeting starting in just a moment. Father, thank you for the opportunity today to look into this short matter, but thank you for what the matter it was. And Lord, we would pray that you would help us this morning to indeed be thinking always upon yourself, to be thinking always upon that which you would have for us, and to be excited about the things that lie ahead, regardless of the obstacles and problems that we see, but we simply know that you can overpower and overcome all of it, and that you have a plan to, that we might see you show yourself strong in our lives. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.